This is Laura Deirdre with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Tarun Kapoor, Senior Vice President and Chief Transformation Officer at Virtua Health. Dr. Kapoor, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Hi, thank you very much, Laura. A pleasure to be here with you and with the audience.
Now, I know we've got a lot to talk about, and I'm excited to learn more about your transformation portfolio at Virtua. But before we dive into my questions, can you tell me a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Absolutely. So Tarun Kapoor, TK for short. I'm an internal medicine hospitalist by training. I'll just say it's if I had probably had to look back 20 years ago when I started this journey, I would have never planned this journey out on purpose. It's one of those things where wherever you go, there you are. So I've had opportunities to be a working hospitalist. I've had roles inside of our informatics team. I was actually the chief medical officer of our medical group. I had a stint in population health. And then in 2019, I was asked to take on digital health as a stretch assignment. And the best career advice I can give to anyone is it's always better to be lucky than good, because March 2020 comes along, COVID pandemic accelerates digital health in a way we could have never even fathomed. So as such, we at Virtua, which is in the southern part of New Jersey, just right on that same latitude as Philadelphia, we created a digital transformation office right coming out of the second wave of COVID. And I'm glad to share more about our office and our portfolio.
Well, fantastic. That's great to hear and absolutely looking forward to it. So will you tell me a little bit about that transformation portfolio? What's unique about it in your program at Virtua?
So the reason we created a digital transformation office was to, because we were recognizing, my goodness, look at this astounding rate of change that occurred during the first couple of waves of the pandemic. I remember there was this headline in the New York Times talking about the adoption of telehealth in the United Kingdom, and they said 10 years of change in 1 week. And that's exactly what we saw. And I think a lot of organizations were seeing levels of change that they had never anticipated before. And the question, we knew that so the pendulum never swings back to the middle. It always tends to swing back to the other direction. So we knew that once some of the urgency of the pandemic were starting to would ease, we knew some of those transformative energies would start to ease as well. And people potentially could go back to doing it the old way. And we, as such, created a digital transformation office and took a model off of Silicon Valley, incubator accelerator model. What we believe transformative things, especially digital transformative things, can happen organically inside of an organization. But what would normally take 2 or 3 years to happen, we try to help accelerate that process and do it in 6 months. And the reason is because the operators are constantly having to put out fires. Today we're recording this, and there's a pretty big breach happening at Change Healthcare. Well, if I'm running a transformation off, or if I'm an operator, I got to take care of that breach. And so there's always an opportunity for a fire to take over. A transformation office lets a group of people continue to move the transformation forward, even when immediate emergencies come up and could otherwise distract people. And that's what we did. So that's the idea behind the office. The office does not own any form of transformation by itself. It always partners with an operating unit. We have a deep partnership with our information technology team, because we need the digital underpinnings to get it done. And then the other piece of the transformation portfolio, which we think is a little bit different than typical projects in a health system, is we don't rebalance it on an annual basis. We rebalance the portfolio 2, 3, sometimes 4 times a year, because the needs of healthcare are changing faster than ever before. You can't be on annual planning cycles for this stuff. So I think that's where there's been some adaptability.
Absolutely. That's just so fascinating. And certainly, as you mentioned, the pace and rate of change in healthcare sped up so much during the pandemic, and it continues to seem like, there is a pretty fast rate of change with new digital technologies and artificial intelligence and so many other things. And like you mentioned, needing to be nimble if there is a cybersecurity incident or something else impacting the system or a business partner, I can imagine that's just such a challenge. When you look at, being able to make that pivot and have teams go from what it used to be in order and now into a space where you can be more nimble, make changes quickly? What does that take culturally, and how do you make sure you keep that momentum going even if there's not a global pandemic going on?
Yeah, so boy, I wish I had a simple answer for that, and I don't, because I'm constantly learning. I think one of the important pieces, though, that we've learned here is, and even though the word transformation is in my title, not everything can nor should be transformative. And learning how to iterate, even if it's relatively simple iterations, and you don't say, well, there's nothing transformative about that. There are learnings that come along the way. So I'm a big believer and a reader of Henrik Nyberg's work from his time back at Spotify and Lego. And you know, he talks about not building in a waterfall mechanism, but truly an agile methodology. And what we try to do here is, someone says, I think I need a car, and we go back to them and say, for what? And that's an awkward question sometimes to ask in healthcare, especially if you're talking to other professionals like physicians who are extremely well-trained. Why do you need a car? I said, well, I want it to get from point A to point B. I said, okay, well, here's a skateboard. Give that a try for a week. And that's just a different way of thinking. But a couple things happen along the way. You learn sometimes that, well, maybe a skateboard isn't good enough, but maybe you can stop at a bicycle. And you know what we say is, well, if you're designing transportation in the Netherlands, in Amsterdam specifically, you would always stop at a bicycle because there's nowhere to park the car. And it's just a different mindset. Because in healthcare, you know, when we take the Hippocratic Oath, we say primum non nocere. First of all, do no harm. That doesn't really sit well with a transformative mindset. It's only if you're making mistakes that you learn something. And so what we've had to find in balance is, we do make mistakes, but we will make sure we are safe. Safety and learning or making mistakes are two different things. We can be safe and still make mistakes as we learn. And I think that's the mindset and the culture shift change that we're still going under here at Virtual.
That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I love that analogy and the way you explained it in thinking about transformation and understanding, you know, what needs to be iterative and how you can really approach some of those things versus some of the bigger transformation as well. What are some of your top priorities over the next 12 months? What do you have top of mind and what are you focused on?
We manage our portfolio in domains. So we have consumer financial journey, digital doors. Alternative term is digital front doors. I'm not a big fan of the term digital front door. When's the last time you went to the front door of your own house? So I think you have multiple doors in a house. You should have multiple doors into your health system. What I would say, if you know, with all of our, and I'd be careful here. I sometimes say projects, but in reality, it's products, and that's an entire mindset shift in healthcare. But within our products, if I just talk about three global themes, we are talking about digital resiliency, digital outcomes, and perhaps most important right now is digital access. There is an access crisis in the United States, and it's not going to go away for the next 10 years. And so if we do not come up with alternative ways of thinking about this, it's going to be a rough 10 years.
I think that's such a great point. And definitely, you know, looking at, as you mentioned, trying to solve some of those big problems, big challenges, whether it's access or other issues, using some of the digital technologies in places available. I really, you know, like you said, think that is so paramount and can certainly make a big difference for the communities that you serve. Is there anything that you're doing now looking ahead that you really feel like is going to be helpful and beneficial as you're making that transition and really ensuring that you've got digital health access and can improve that for the whole community that you serve?
Well, yeah, I think this is one of those, an opportunity, one of those learnings we came along the way. And you remember someone says, I want a car, is it to do what? I think a lesson we've learned along the way, we've had a lot of success with online scheduling. We have really substantial numbers of online scheduling appointments that occur in the organization. And if you think about all the phone calls that are saved, both from the convenience to the patient consumer, but also to the operators, the operations team, that can be avoided because of digital scheduling. But I actually looking back and kind of realizing, you know what, maybe we didn't ask enough of to do what. I didn't ask enough of what do you want the online schedule to do. And so, for example, way we've been thinking about it is patients, do they really want an appointment? Does anyone really want an appointment? And I think, yes, there are some people who absolutely just want an appointment, but most people actually just want an answer to their problem. They're willing to make an appointment as a mechanism to get the answer. Are there other ways we can get them their answer without them having to have an appointment? And if we are talking about scarcity of resources, and our clinicians are probably our most scarce and precious resource, does every question need an appointment to get answered? Or are there other ways we can do that? And that's where we were talking, we're thinking through some of the digital tools, et cetera. You know, the reality though is that the structure of how billing works is going to have to be looked at differently. What are consumers' comfort levels of getting their answers through digital means? When is something appropriate for a digital answer, and when is something appropriate for an analog answer, when, you know, meaning in person with your clinician? I think those are all the things we're trying to solve for. And you know, I think we just recognize, if you look at the numbers, the population numbers in the United States, you're not going to recruit your way out of this problem. We're all competing to have clinicians, and the pipeline will just not come fast enough. So we're going to have to think about other ways of doing this.
That's a really excellent point. Thank you so much. Now, before we wrap up here, I'm wondering, given everything we've talked about, looking at transformation, digital technologies, access to care, how do you anticipate your role and teams will change in the next year and beyond?
Yeah, we think about this a lot. I think we're spending a lot of time here. As mentioned, we were a digital transformation office, so it's a little bit more of a centralized function when we started. What I'd love to see is more of a federated model or approach. And that meaning, like, for example, when Excel first came out, yeah, the finance people use it a lot. Everyone uses Excel across an organization. You don't say, well, only finance gets to use Excel. Right? It's just not the way the world works. I think similarly around digital, while there have to be guardrails around digital, guardrails around artificial intelligence, how do you get these tools into the hands of the front end users? Because that's where the true innovation occurs. Yes, you know, we have innovation labs where we experiment. The saying I put out there is that innovation without adoption is experimentation, but innovation with adoption is true transformation. And we have to spend a lot of time, we are spending a lot of time around literacy, digital literacy, AI literacy, explaining to our colleagues, our employees, these are what these tools can do, this is what these tools can't currently do, and this is how these tools can be abused. And so I'm spending a lot of time on the education front, because you know these tools are not going to be able to be kept in a bottle. The genie's out. So we want to educate the people around us in our organization how to effectively use the tools, but also be aware of where there could be shortcomings.
That makes a lot of sense. Dr. Kapoor, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. This has been such a fascinating conversation and really covered a lot of ground. So I appreciate your time here and looking forward to connecting with you again soon.
Appreciate your time and the questions. And thank you to the audience for giving me the opportunity to share some of the things we're thinking about here at Virtua.